Christmas is a wonderful time of year, a wonderful season. It's a time for us, obviously, to celebrate the birth of Christ, also a time to come together as family and friends. But at the same time, the holidays, Christmas and New Year's, and all that goes with that can be a stressful time. We're going to give you a little bit of audience participation time. So what are some of the stresses? Why the stress that comes with Christmas? Anybody want to be brave enough to participate here?
Shopping.
Thank you. Okay. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Shopping is stressful. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you have to buy a gift for someone who has everything they need, everything they want, right? It's like, what in the world do you get them? And then you throw in the dynamics of the dollar value connected with Christmas buying and the gifts. And it's like, oh, do we spend this much or that much? And how are we going to pay the bills? And then the conflict between the husband and wife, should we be spending this much or that much? So there's all of the decisions, all the finances, all the time connected with Christmas shopping. Somebody else? Yes. Can I have an amen? Okay, I'm with you, Ken, on that one. And not just the lights, but you got all the decorations inside and outside to go along with that. In addition to the time that it takes to put up all the lights, you also have Christmas concert, Christmas performances, Christmas parties, Christmas cards, all of the busyness that comes to already overcrowded schedules. Somebody else?
Cooking,
yes. There's all these meals and parties where there's expectations related to food and cooking and meals and cookies. Now, let me help you out with the last one since I'm not sure you're brave enough to say it, but I know some of you are thinking, family, right? Okay, let's just be honest. There's no perfect family. There's an element of dysfunction in every family, and throughout the year, when you don't see the extended family, you can sort of deal with those family dynamics. But at Christmas, everybody comes together, and so the conflict and strained relationships is right in your face. And then for many individuals who are divorced or blended families, you have all of those dynamics that come into play. And then with the family you have, do I go to this grandmother or to this aunt's on Christmas Eve? And do we skip this party and make this party? And so there's all of these relational family dynamics that sort of come to a surface at Christmas. And along with the family dynamics, there's also the reminder of loved ones who are not going to be at the Christmas table, who are not going to be at the Christmas gatherings. And you remember again, not that you don't remember them throughout the year, but the pain and the loss of family members at Christmas just adds to the stress and the strain that comes with Christmas. My intent this morning is not to be a Scrooge, but for us to think about this morning, in the midst of all of that goes on with Christmas, New Year's, the holiday season, how can you and I experience rest in the midst of that? Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 62. If you don't have your Bibles with you this morning, you can look off of the screen or look off of your neighbor. But Psalm chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. David, the psalmist, penned this, and he penned it in a time of chaos and conflict and opposition in his life. So follow along as we read Psalm 62, 1 through 5. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. In verses 3 and 4, David is speaking to the opposition that is coming against him, who desire to not bless him but to curse him, to take him down from his kingship. David is in the midst of chaos and conflict. And then once again, he says in verse 5, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him." When David makes this declaration in verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God and God alone," he's making a declaration about a rest that goes beyond just physical rest. He says, "My soul, my inner being finds rest. My inner being finds satisfaction, contentment. My inner being is at peace." In the midst of the opposition, in the midst of all the chaos and conflict surrounding David, he makes this declaration, "My soul, my inner being finds rest." And where does he find this rest that is apart from his circumstances? He finds it in God and God alone. Too often, you and I may try to find that contentment, that satisfaction, that peace, that rest in other places. We may try to find that rest for our souls, that contentment, that satisfaction through our circumstances, through things, through people. And for those of us who are followers of Christ, maybe the most significant word in that phrase, in that declaration, is the word alone. You see, many of us falsely believe that we can be at peace, we can be at rest, we can find contentment in God plus something else, plus circumstances that's going well. Maybe specifically you're in a situation and you're in a strained marriage and relationships within your family. And you say, you know what, I can't really be at peace, I can't really be at rest with all of the dynamics going on in my family and my marriage. But I want you to know this morning that you can find rest in God and Him alone, apart from those marital or family circumstances. Maybe some of you are saying this morning, you know, I could be at peace, I could be at rest, my soul could be satisfied if I wouldn't have all of these financial challenges. God desires for you this morning to find rest apart from those financial challenges. Whatever is going on in your life, whatever is all the chaos that's surrounding Christmas, all the pressure, all the weight, all that's involved with the holiday season, God wants you to know this morning that you can be at rest in your soul. It's what we all long for. It's what people would pay lots of money for. And that rest can be found in God and Him alone. The Apostle Paul articulated this way in the New Testament. Look with me at Philippians chapter 4. He doesn't use the word rest. He uses a similar word. He uses content. Paul says, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content. Whatever the circumstances, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." And then Paul goes on in verse 13 to say, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Speaking to the contentment that's found in Christ, in God. So that's what's available to you and I this morning. How do we find that rest? Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus. We're going to look at the Israelites, Exodus chapter 16. I trust you're following along in the notes. It's Genesis, Exodus, Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites have just come out of Egypt. They have been rescued. They have crossed the Red Sea, and now they find themselves in the desert. Follow along as we read the first three verses of Exodus chapter 16. "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of mead and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Here we see the Israelites. They're hungry. All of the food that they had packed away when they left Egypt is now gone. It's probably about 6 weeks into the trip, and the food is gone. They're not only hungry, they're angry, they're complaining, they're upset, and they are whining to Moses and Aaron, saying, "You know what? We were better off back in Egypt. Even though we were slaves, we had food to eat." Follow along verse 4. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough food for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions.'" Pick up the story now in verse 13. "That evening, quail came down and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent.' The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, 'No one is to keep any of it until morning.' However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them." Now, some of you are saying, what in the world does this story that took place thousands and thousands of years ago have to do with the topic of rest? What does it have to do with the chaos and the challenges in my life here at this Christmas season? God is clear that He is teaching them a lesson. He's instructing them. He's giving them a test to see whether or not they would obey Him and whether or not they would trust Him. And part of that test, part of the instruction, was, "I'm going to provide manna, bread from heaven, for you each day. Not enough for the month, not enough for the week, but I'm going to provide enough manna for each day." And the instructions were clear. Do not try to carry over your manna for the next day. Do not save any of the manna. In other words, you need to trust me. You need to depend upon me every single day to meet your needs. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your plans by keeping extra manna for the next day, just in case God doesn't come through, just in case everybody else gathers it up and there's not a left for me. Don't try to control your environment, but trust me each and every day. What God was trying to teach His people was to trust Him every day to meet your needs. How do you and I find rest in the midst of our holidays? Understand that rest comes through trusting God rather than ourselves. Our natural tendency, every single one of us in here this morning, is to trust in ourselves rather than God. But when we trust in ourselves, what does that lead to? That leads to anxiety, that leads to stress. We need to make sure that we get the outcome that we want. The weight of the world, the pressure is on us. In many ways, it's a God complex. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to control my environment. I've got to provide for my needs. Louis Giglio, in his book, says this. Follow along in your notes. "Things go terribly wrong when we try to assume control of our lives and those around us. For one, we sentence ourselves to a heavy load. We call it the weight of the world that God never intended for us to carry. Running our world is too much for us, no matter how hard we try. to try to be God, something I find I'm really bad at, without having the wisdom and power of God is a ridiculous proposition, a daunting task. Attempting to orchestrate the world around us, even for a day, leaves us stressed and spent. Many of us are what I would call practical atheists. We say we believe in God, but then the way we live our lives does not reflect that belief or faith at all. We say, yes, I trust God, but then we spend all sorts of emotional energy and time trying to get what we want, what we need, because in our hearts we're really not sure God's going to come through for us. Rest comes through trusting God rather than ourselves. Take a look at the second quote there in your notes. Rest, you see, is not about doing nothing. It's about doing everything we do with the quiet confidence that our lives, our families, our businesses, our ministries, our relationships and dreams are in His hand. There is so much in that quote. It's what God was trying to teach the Israelites in the deserts. Stop trying to trust in yourself. Look for me every single day to provide for your needs. Trust your families. Trust your future. Trust your health. Trust your ministries. Trust everything that you have into my hands. It's not about doing nothing. This past week was a very busy and hectic week for me, and I know for many of you. But not all the time, but most of the time I can say I was at a place of rest. It wasn't doing nothing, but it was understanding that God is in control. He is the one who is going to accomplish His sovereign purposes in my family, in the life of this church, and in the life of the families of this church. And so I can be a pastor. I can do a lot of things from a place of rest. What does that look like for you? What does trusting God rather than trusting yourself look like in your circumstances? Last off, I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 33. As you think about the fact that God provided manna, He provided bread from heaven every single day. Think about how that carries over in the New Testament with the words of Jesus. Jesus said, don't worry about what? Don't worry about tomorrow. For today has enough trouble of itself. Your heavenly Father knows what you need. Trust Him. Jesus was communicating, trust God every single day for what you need. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't trust in yourself. Trust your heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 33, Jesus says this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Anybody in here this morning weary? Anybody carrying a burden? Jesus says to you this morning, come to me, and I will give you, there's that word, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. The very same phrase that David used in Psalm 62. You will find rest for your souls. Again, what Jesus is offering us goes beyond a physical rest. It goes towards an inner rest, an inner peace, contentment, satisfaction. Jesus says, that's found in me. Come to me. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we think about Jesus making this offer to each one of us in this room this morning, you're weary, you're burdened, come to me and I will give you rest for your souls. I want us to think back to the broad biblical narrative, to look at the big picture this morning. Genesis chapter 1, we see that God created the heavens and the earth. He created Adam and Eve. And in the garden, Adam and Eve was at complete rest. They were completely satisfied, completely content, completely at peace with themselves and with God. And then what happened? Sin entered the world. And what was one of the costs, one of the price tags of sin as it entered the world? No more rest. That rest was replaced with conflict, with stress, with chaos, with brokenness, with suffering. It's the consequences of sin entering the world. And then we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 16, and God is trying to show and teach His people that in the midst of the brokenness, in the midst of the needs, in the midst of the chaos of this world, trust Me, depend upon Me. That's the path to finding rest. And then we see that Jesus comes and He begins His earthly ministry. He begins to teach and to preach. And He says, "Come to Me, you who are weary and burdened, and you will find rest. Rest for your souls." He went on to say, "I am the bread of life. I will satisfy you. I will satisfy the deep longings of your heart." And then if we continue with the biblical narrative, what happens? Through Christ, we meet or we experience the ultimate, the consummation of that rest in the new heaven and the new earth. It's secured through Christ. And so this morning, as we celebrate Christmas, as we think about Jesus in a manger, Jesus came to give each of us rest. Take a look at how Eugene Peterson translates this passage in today's vocabulary in your notes. Jesus says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me, get away with Me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Are you weary in trying to earn God's approval? One of the aspects of rest that was lost with sin is that each one of us deals with and struggles with guilt. Each one of us in this room understands that we don't measure up to God's standard. We don't measure up to a holy God. And we understand that. And so there is this guilt that steals our rest, that steals that inner peace, that inner satisfaction, that contentment. We understand that that sin becomes between us and a holy and righteous God. That rest is destroyed. And so what do we innately do? We work. We strive to gain God's approval. We work and we strive to gain God's blessing. We work and we strive so that God will be pleased with us, so that maybe we can be with Him for eternity. We strive. We move away from rest. It's how we cope with the guilt. It's how we cope with the shame. But Jesus says, "Come to Me and you will find rest." Rest for our souls. Rest in terms of our relationship with God. Look with me at the screens, Colossians chapter 1, 21 and 22. Paul says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight without blemish and free from accusation." Let's just take a moment to make sure we understand this verse. Once you were alienated from God. When you and I are born, we are born as sinners. Nobody had to teach us how to sin. That sin separates us from God. We're alienated from God because of Him being a holy God and because of our sin and our sin nature. But Paul says, "But now," he's referring to Christians, "He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death." That through Christ's physical body, through His sacrifice, through His death and resurrection, through Him paying the penalty for our sins before God, we can be holy in God's sight without blemish and free from accusation. We can be at rest with a holy God through Christ, through His physical sacrifice, through His death and resurrection. So how do you and I find rest during the chaos of this Christmas season? Through all the expectations, we understand that rest comes from God and Him alone. Not God plus different circumstances or whatever else you want to put in there. We understand that rest comes through trusting God rather than ourselves for our provisions, for our needs, and trusting our dreams, our families into His hands. And ultimately, rest comes through Christ as we quit striving to please a holy and righteous God, and instead we rest as we trust in the finished work of Jesus. I bet if we're honest this morning, there is a lot of stress and anxiety and shame and guilt and regret in our lives. And ultimately, I'm not sure it's the busyness of Christmas is that at the root of this stress. I think the busyness in the relationship simply surfaces that turmoil, that lack of rest in our hearts. But God's heart for you this morning, He longs to give you rest, to be at peace with Him, to be at peace in your soul. And He's made a way for that to happen through Jesus, who came in a manger, God in the flesh, God in the incarnate. He is the path to rest. Let's pray. Just give you a moment to quiet your hearts. What's the Holy Spirit whispering to you this morning? How are you trusting in yourself and your plans? What do you need to lay at His feet? What does trusting God look like for you this morning? Have you bought into the lie that you can't have rest unless your circumstances change? Have you bought into the lie that God couldn't ultimately satisfy you and be your all in all, even in this place right now? If you're here this morning and you recognize that you're not at rest with a holy God because of your sin, this morning you can repent, you can turn from your sin, you can turn from your striving, you can turn from trusting in yourself and look to Christ and Him alone for your rest. If God has been speaking to your heart this morning and you're ready to trade in your sin, you're striving for rest in Christ, in the quietness of your hearts, in your own words, God knows your heart, whisper to Him that you desire to find rest in Jesus. Acknowledge and confess that there is sin and striving that is getting in the way of a holy God. Confess that. Repent of that. Turn from that. Let Him know that your desire is to turn from all of those things, all of the sin, all of the striving, and turn to Jesus. To live for Him and for His glory. Ask Him to help you take that rest that is available and make it a reality in your life. Thank Him for the sacrifice that Christ was on your behalf. Thank Him that through Christ a way has been made for us to be restored, to be redeemed, to have rest. With heads bowed and eyes closed, confess to me that you prayed that prayer, that your heart's desire this morning is to have rest in Jesus. If that's where you're at this morning, if that's what you prayed in your heart, raise your hand. Confess to me. Let me know. Thank you. Anybody else? Saying yes. I want to find rest in Jesus. That's my prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Others? Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of the people who are sitting here. You know, Lord, those who are crying out and looking to you for rest through your Son. May you continue to draw them. May you continue to convict them. May you continue to reveal yourself to them. May they experience your rest in the midst of the striving and the chaos. Lord, help each one of us to quit striving this morning, to submit and surrender to you so that we can experience rest. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.